If you have your Bibles with you, please turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. It's a long chapter, but we can't really cut anything out, so we're going to read the whole chapter, Luke, chapter 24, reading from the New King James, but are we quoting from the New Living Translation when we get to various passages? So please listen carefully. This is our last chapter in Luke's Gospel. If you're a visitor today, we've been just going through Luke 23 and 24 as our Easter message. And last week, we dealt with the death of the Lord Jesus Christ from Luke 23. So Luke 24, reading from verse 1. Now, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again.' And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them, who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together all of these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him. And he said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are so sad?" Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But him they did not see." Then he said to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken! Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory?" And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going. And he indicated that he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us?" So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed, and has appeared to Simon." And they told about the things that had happened on the road, and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. Now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were terrified and frightened, and supposed they'd seen a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe, for joy had marveled, he said to them, "Have you any food here?" So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. Well, we are now in the last chapter of Luke's Gospel. And remember, last week I pointed out that Luke wrote his Gospel about Jesus after talking to all the eyewitnesses who experienced the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Luke was the only Gospel writer who didn't meet Jesus personally. Therefore, he wanted to check out everything that was available to him so that he could write an orderly account to an individual called Theophilus. And although chapter 24 is very long, Luke's focus is on the teaching of Jesus to his disciples. And the big revelation by Jesus to his disciples concerns the Old Testament scriptures. Jesus told all of his disciples that the whole of the Old Testament scriptures were written about himself. In other words, Jesus told his disciples that if they really want to understand his death and resurrection, they would need to understand the Jewish scriptures, what we call the Old Testament, to understand that all of the Jewish scriptures were about Jesus. Well, normally Christians use the New Testament to teach about the death and resurrection of Jesus. However, at that time, there was no New Testament scriptures to teach from. So if you have no Christian background or very little understanding of the whole Bible, then it will be difficult for you today to see the purpose of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. If I just came from outer space or some planet or other and came to this world, I'd need to understand the story right from the very beginning. When you're reading a book, you don't cut in the last couple of chapters. You'll just mess up with the whole story. So you need to understand from the beginning. You need to understand some basic information from the Jewish scriptures to comprehend the importance of the death and resurrection of Jesus. Therefore, there is a need today to focus upon what Jesus wanted his early disciples to know about himself from the Jewish scriptures. Now, we'll do this as we come to the place in the text where Jesus refers to this point. There are two things in chapter 24, I'm going to make it very short and simple today, that we need to be clear about. And the first is that Jesus Christ actually rose from the dead and had a physical body. Okay, it wasn't a spirit apparition. He rose from the dead and had a physical body. And the second thing is that on two different occasions, Jesus taught his disciples the importance of understanding his death and resurrection from the whole of the Jewish scriptures. Not just enough to know the New Testament. We need to know about the Jesus of the whole Bible. So let's jump in first. My first point, Jesus Christ actually rose from the dead and had a physical body. Verses 1 to 12 and 36 to 42. We're told by Luke that the first people to discover about the resurrection of Jesus were a group of women. Now, only three of these women are identified by Luke. They are Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James. There were other women at the tomb, but they're not identified by Luke. And these women had come to the tomb to anoint the body of Jesus with spices. This was the first opportunity, because of the Sabbath, that the women had time to come and prepare and anoint the body of Jesus. And they were clearly expecting the body of Jesus to be inside the tomb. And when they got to the tomb, they discovered that the large stone that was blocking the entrance to the tomb had been rolled away. And the women looked inside the tomb and discovered that the body of Jesus was missing. It wasn't there. Well, naturally, they were shocked to find that the body of Jesus had disappeared. And as they thought about the situation, two angels described by Luke as two men in shining garments spoke to them. This is what they said, verses 6 to 7. He is not here, but is risen. Remember, he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And in verse 8, we're told that the women remembered the words of Jesus about his death and resurrection. Then the women turned to the other disciples and informed them about the situation concerning Jesus and his resurrection. Now, it's clear at this point that the women believed that Jesus had risen from the dead. How in verse 11 we're told that the words seemed to the disciples, the other men there, like idle tales. The disciples did not believe in the witness of the women. So at this point, the lady disciples believed in the resurrection of Jesus, but the men disciples did not believe in the resurrection of Jesus. However, one of the men, Peter, ran to the tomb and discovered the linen cloths which were wrapped around Jesus just lying by themselves. We're told by Luke that Peter marveled about what had happened. Although Luke does not record the fact that there was a handkerchief lying separately, I think it's worth reading John's account of this event, because I think that's important. John chapter 20, verses 3 to 8. This is what it says. Peter, therefore, went out and the other disciple and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down, looking in, saw the linen cloth lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloth lying there, and the handkerchief that had been round the head, not lying with the linen cloth, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. Well, many Jewish scholars think that this handkerchief was a sign to encourage Peter about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When a Jewish person was having a meal with another Gentile person, they had a custom of folding their napkin in a certain way to communicate with their friends that they disapproved of the hospitality that they were experiencing. It was kind of a secret sign to communicate with their friends that they didn't like this place and it was time to leave. So it's possible that Jesus had left his handkerchief folded in a certain way to communicate a message to Peter. And this message will have only been understood by Jewish men, a secret sign. Jesus was saying to Peter, I don't like this place, I'm off to a better place. We need to remember that Peter denied knowing Jesus and then regretted it. And now he was encouraged. Perhaps a signal from Jesus changed his thinking. We don't know, but perhaps that was the case. So in this first section, we have the women going into the tomb where Jesus was buried. They had no expectation of the resurrection of Jesus. They'd just come to anoint his body with spices. However, as an angel spoke to them, he reminded them, the women, of the words of Jesus. The women believed in the resurrection of Jesus because of his words. The words of Jesus. Yes, they needed to be reminded of what Jesus had said himself about his death and resurrection. And it was belief in the words of Jesus that convicted them and gave them the assurance about his resurrection. Now, this is an important point. This is the point of today. When it comes to the application for everybody here today, including me, it is belief in the words of Jesus that will determine our future. Belief in the words of Jesus. Not what I preach, not what I say, but in the words of Jesus. John 11, 25 and 26. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. That's what Jesus said. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? The words of Jesus. If we do not believe that Jesus was God's Son and that he came into this world to die for our sins and after 3 days he was raised from the dead and is alive today, then we will not have any personal assurance in our heart of our personal resurrection to eternal life with Jesus in heaven in the future. Now, Peter was a little different. He needed some sort of personal sign from Jesus as he looked into the tomb. And it appears that Jesus may have given Peter some encouragement to believe in the resurrection of Jesus. Perhaps today you need some encouragement to believe in the resurrection of Jesus. Maybe you've come here today just to perhaps practice your English, or just because it's nice to meet people who speak English, or you just want to come and investigate on Easter Day. What is this all about? Perhaps you need some encouragement today. If you are seeking the truth about Jesus and his resurrection, then maybe he will give you today some encouragement to believe. Now, the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts was given a personal experience of hearing the voice of Jesus. However, for Paul, there was going to be great responsibility for taking that gospel message to the Gentile world. And this would involve great personal sacrifice, as we'll see as we go through the book of Acts. So before you ask Jesus for a sign, and he may give you one, be prepared to sacrifice your life to him. For those he gives much to, much will be expected from. That's what the scripture says. The second point in this section is that Luke is clearly wanting us to understand that the resurrection of Jesus Christ was a bodily resurrection. It was not some sort of spirit appearance of Jesus coming and going away and not being real. It says in verse 36 to 42 in the New Living Translation, it says, and just as they were telling about it, Jesus himself was suddenly standing there among them. Peace be with you, he said. But the whole group was startled and frightened, thinking that they'd seen a ghost. Why are you frightened? He asked. Why are your hearts filled with doubt? Look at my hands. Look at my feet. You can see that it's really me. Touch me and make sure that I'm not a ghost. Because ghosts don't have bodies, as you see that I do. As he spoke, he showed them his hands and his feet. Still they stood there in disbelief, filled with joy and wonder. Then he asked them, do you have anything to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he ate it as they watched. The question we need to ask is, why is the bodily resurrection of Jesus so important? Well, turn with me in the scriptures to 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 to 24. These are the words of God. But now, Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all should be made alive, but each one in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ's at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, and he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. So Jesus is the first fruits, and later believers come as the rest of the harvest. So the bodily resurrection of Jesus proves to us that all believers' bodies will be raised from the dead and will have a real body. Now, it's not going to be exactly like the body we have today. It will be similar in some ways. We will recognize each other, but our bodies will not experience pain, suffering, decay, or death. They'll be supernatural bodies, but it will be a real body. So the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ is also dependent upon our salvation. If Jesus hadn't raised from the dead with a real body, we couldn't claim to be saved. Romans 10, 9 to 10 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with your heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So if Jesus hadn't been raised from the dead in bodily form, then as Paul says in the scriptures, our preaching would be in vain. Jesus taught his disciples to understand his resurrection from the scriptures, verses 25 to 27, 44 to 45. The first thing we need to understand is exactly what Jesus said to his disciples about understanding the death and resurrection of himself. This is what Jesus said. Then he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. 44 to 45. Then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Now, for a very long time, the Jewish people only had one book. They used to call it the law or the Torah. Sometimes the law of Moses, and to us today, that's the first five books of the Bible. Later on in history, they had what they called the Psalms or the writings. These were the Psalms, the Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, all those things. Then they had the prophets. These were the prophetic writings, and that included all the prophets. Although this does leave out a few books in the Bible, it was generally accepted by the Jewish people at that time that any reference to the law and the writings and the prophets included what we regard today as the whole of the Old Testament. So we need to fully understand here that Jesus is telling his disciples that the whole of the Old Testament as we know it is all about Jesus and his death and resurrection. To put it another way, anything we need to know about the death and resurrection is contained in the Old Testament books. It's not possible to go through all of these books of the Old Testament today and identify where it speaks about the death and resurrection of Jesus. That would be a lifetime work. But I thought I would just focus on one of these accounts of how Jesus explained his death and resurrection from an Old Testament prophetic book, chosen the book of Jonah. And the reason for this is that Jesus made it very clear, even to the unbelieving Jewish leaders, that the Old Testament was all about him and his death and resurrection. And I hope that it'll be very clear to us. The problem is, you may not have ever read the Old Testament. You may certainly not know the story of the prophet Jonah. So I'm going to read it to you. I know it's a little bit long, but it's in the New Living Translation. I'm going to read the story of Jonah. Then I'm going to apply what Jesus said, and then we'll have a look exactly how Jesus is trying to teach his disciples here. So, Jonah chapter 1, New Living Translation. The Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. Get up and go to that great city, Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it because I have seen how wicked its people are. Okay, that's God's word. But Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. He went down to the port of Joppa where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. He bought a ticket and went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. But the Lord hurled a powerful wind over the sea, causing a violent storm that threatened to break the ship apart. Fearing for their lives, the desperate sailors shouted to their gods for help and threw the cargo overboard to lighten the ship. You can imagine the scene. But all this time, Jonah was sound asleep in the hold. So the captain went down after him. How can you sleep at a time like this? He shouted. Get up and pray to your God. Maybe he will pay attention to us and spare our lives. Then the crew cast lots to see which of them had offended the gods and caused them the terrible storm. When they did this, the lots identified Jonah as the culprit. He was the problem. Why has this awful storm come about on us? They demanded. Who are you? What is your line of work? What country are you from? What is your nationality? Jonah answered, I am a Hebrew and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. The sailors were terrified when they heard this, for he had already told them that he was running away from the Lord. Oh, why did you do it? They groaned. And since the storm is getting worse all of the time, they asked him, what should we do to stop this storm? Throw me into the sea, Jonah said, and it will become calm again. I know that this terrible storm is all my fault. There's a lot of stuff in this we can't have time for. But anyway, instead the sailors rowed even harder to get the ship to the land. But the stormy sea was too violent for them. And they couldn't make it. Then they cried out to the Lord, Jonah's God. O Lord, they pleaded, don't make us die for this man's sin. And don't hold us responsible for his death. O Lord, you have sent this storm upon him for your own good reasons. Then the sailors picked up Jonah and threw him into the raging sea, and the storm stopped at once. The sailors were awestruck by the Lord's great power, and they offered him a sacrifice and vowed to serve him. Now the Lord had arranged for a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from inside the fish, and he said, I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble, and he answered me. I called to you from the land of the dead, and Lord, you heard me. You threw me into the ocean depths and sank down to the heart of the sea. The mighty waters engulfed me. I was buried beneath your wild and stormy waves. Then I said, O Lord, you have driven me from your presence, yet I will look once more towards your holy temple. I sank beneath the waves, and the waters closed over me. Seaweed wrapped itself around my head. I sank down to the very roots of the mountains. I was imprisoned in the earth, whose gates lock shut forever. But you, O Lord, my God, snatched me from the jaws of death as my life was slipping away. I remembered the Lord, and my earnest prayer went out to you in your holy temple. Those who worship false gods turn their backs on all God's mercies, but I will offer sacrifices to you with songs of praise, and I will fulfill all my vows, for my salvation comes from the Lord alone. Then the Lord ordered the fish to spit Jonah out onto the beach. Then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time, get up and go to that great city Nineveh and deliver the message I have given you. This time, Jonah obeyed the Lord's command and went to Nineveh, a city so large that it took 3 days to see it all, something like Osaka, I'm sure. On the day Jonah entered the city, he shouted to the crowds, 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. The people of Nineveh believed God's message, and from the greatest to the least, they declared a fast and put on burlap to show their sorrow. When the king of Nineveh heard what Jonah was saying, he stepped down from his throne and took off his royal robes. He dressed himself in burlap and sat on a heap of ashes. Then the king and his nobles sent his decrees throughout the city. Not one, not even the animals from your herds and flocks, may eat or drink anything at all. People and animals alike must wear garments of mourning, and everyone must pray earnestly to God. They must turn from their evil ways and stop all their violence. Who can tell? Perhaps even yet, God will change his mind and hold back his fierce anger from destroying us. When God saw what they'd done and how they'd put a stop to their evil ways, he changed his mind and did not carry out the destruction he threatened. So this is what Jesus did, referring to that story. One day, some teachers of religious law and Pharisees came to Jesus and said, Teacher, we want you to show us a miraculous sign to prove your authority. But Jesus replied, only an evil, adulterous generation would demand a miraculous sign. But the only sign I will give them is the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and three nights, so will the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. The people of Nineveh will stand up against this generation, okay, this is important, on judgment day and condemn it. For they repented of their sins at the preaching of Jonah. Now someone greater than Jonah is here, but you refuse to repent. Jesus makes it clear that the book of Jonah was all about him, not about Jonah. Jonah was only God's instrument to point to the death and resurrection of Jesus and the mercy of God because of the death and resurrection of Jesus. The people of Nineveh were rescued from their sin because Jonah delivered God's message to the city. Now, this is only one story from the Old Testament that teaches about Jesus and his death and resurrection. It is without doubt that this is one of the ones that was explained to the disciples on the way to Emmaus. Now, if you're fortunate enough to have an ESV large study Bible, you'll discover that someone has attempted to try and discover Jesus in every chapter of the Old Testament. Sometimes it's a bit stretchy, but it's all there. But the point that Luke makes in verse 45 is that the disciples were a little confused until Jesus opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. So we have in the gospel message and the death and the resurrection an opportunity not to experience the wrath of God, but to be saved from your sin and to have the assurance in your heart that when you die, you will be raised from the dead. Verse 45, and he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. all about the scriptures. And in verse 30 to 31, after Jesus had taken the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to the disciples, that their eyes were opened and they knew Jesus. 30 to 31, now it came to pass as he sat at the table with them, that he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. So what is the conclusion and application? Well, to be true to the intention of the writer at this time, we need to focus upon Luke's purpose of writing his account about Jesus. Luke's purpose, and it tells us at the very beginning of his gospel, Luke's purpose is for people to be 100% certain about Jesus, about his life, about his death and resurrection. So if you come here this morning and you want to take away the purpose of being here, the purpose of being here is you must leave this building with 100% certainty about Jesus, his life, his death, and his resurrection. Therefore, today, I want everybody to be certain who Jesus is, why he came, that he died for all of the sins of the world, and that he was raised from the dead after 3 days. So it's my prayer today that Jesus will open your eyes to see your sin. Open my eyes to see my sin. To convict us of the need to ask Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins. And we need to base the foundation on our certainty in what Jesus says and in the truth of the whole Bible. Let us pray and ask Jesus himself to reveal himself to us if we're really seeking him. We're going to have a silent prayer for a couple of minutes, and then after that, we're going to play a DVD. So we're not going to have any pastor's prayer this morning, just kind of leaving that to one side till next week. But we're going to just have silent prayer now. Ask that Jesus would reveal himself to us. If we're really seeking Jesus today and we don't know him, don't leave this building without praying for the forgiveness of your sin and to receive him. We don't know when we'll get another opportunity. So we're going to close our eyes now and we're going to come to prayer. Let's pray.